Let's do this!
Swing and a belt, left field, way back, Blue Jays win it!
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it!
It's all over!
Here's a chance, that call, shot, rebound, score! Do it.
Light the fucking candle. It's Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. At Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. My name's Matt. His name's Rob.
Hey.
Thanks for checking out the show, everybody. Catch you on the next one. What's happening, man?
A little of this, a little of that.
Yeah.
You know, winter in Ottawa.
Yeah, it's a fucking beaut.
It's, you know what? On the cusp of February,
mm-hmm.
feels like we're strong arm in the winter. I don't know about you.
Nope, you don't, because I don't feel the same way.
Really, what's eating you?
Just a lot of slop around. Just a lot of yeah.
Okay, are we still talking about winter or
Sunday mornings here?
Okay.
Or Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Tuesday afternoon.
Alone.
Whatever yes. It is.
Would you indulge me for just a second?
Matt, that's what we do here.
Yeah. As we record this on the afternoon of hashtag Bell Let's Talk Day, there's a very small group of, as Rob yawns in the background, getting ready for this.
Sorry about that. That has nothing to do with Matt's take.
Yeah. Haven't even gotten there yet. Just wait. They'll be snoring in the background, whatever else is going on. As we move our way through Bell Let's Talk Day, I understand there is a certain amount of cynicism that goes with it. That Bell is a big faceless corporation that sometimes fires people, causes them to be feeling distressed. That they're probably going to get a tax write-off for what they're doing here and the donation that they inevitably go ahead and make. There are a million reasons to be cynical of this thing. And I would like to point out to any of you who are spending time online today, pointing us all in that direction, that you're just not anywhere near as clever as you think. This is a kind of day where it creates a safe space for people to be able to talk. Just because of the sheer volume of other people talking about it. Sometimes people will be prepared to come out and maybe it pushes them to go get the help they need. Maybe it's just a reply to somebody else's tweet that says, hey, that's kind of how I'm feeling too. It's normalizing what a lot of people are feeling right now. You are not the only one who has seen Bell and go, this is a PR stunt, or you're just not that fucking clever. And I get it if you want to be cynical, but do it tomorrow. Because right now, this is doing a lot of good for a lot of people. And the motive for whatever corporation started it is irrelevant. Because the good far, far outweighs the bad. And I'm kind of tired of seeing the, I'm too cool for the room, right? I see what Bell is doing. We all see what Bell is fucking doing. But for one day, maybe we can just let them donate the fucking money that they're going to donate. Maybe for one day we can let people talk without your shitty anti-capitalism spin on it. And I'm just sort of fed up. Because it's not like you're wrong, but you're also not smarter than everybody else. You're just too cool for the room. And you know what? We can talk about that tomorrow. Because this is a conversation that's happening on Bell Let's Talk Day every year that should happen more and more throughout the year. And it doesn't. So for one day, let it be a safe place for people to take what they can from it and move forward without your yeah, but Bell is... Just shut up.
So they would rather it didn't.
I guess
it didn't say Bell. Let's talk. It was just let's talk.
Yeah.
Well, then that defeats the purpose of the nickel per.
Yeah. Why exchange. Would Bell do it?
This is it.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, as you have already suggested and stated, that the good far, far outweighs the negative.
We all understand why Bell did it, but let's just let them fucking do it.
Well, and let's just talk about a tax break. That's how you encourage people to donate money.
Yep.
Happens all the time.
Absolutely, man.
So if you're talking about $100 million, which they are talking about prior to today over the past 9 years.
Yep.
That's a lot of cake.
For sure. For people who need it. So that sort of got me agitated today.
I see that, man.
So
I see that.
One of the things that annually across the hockey world gets people agitated is the All-Star Game / Games. Now it's sort of this 3-on-3 tournament. We watched much of it in Montreal on Saturday night. Also caught bits and pieces of the skills. That I took more of a look at when I got home. Any takeaway from the All-Star Game this year?
Best thing I saw was the women's 3-on-3.
Yeah. Really interesting. Really entertaining.
Now, like all of it, it could have been shorter.
You think?
I just think it's too long.
Was it 2 10-minute periods?
You're gassed. I don't think they went. I thought they went with...
Sorry.
It's totally good. The games were, the following day were 2 10s. I want to say this was like 120.
Could be. I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, and neither can I.
Yeah.
Fully, but to me, it was far more interesting than any of the 3 men's games.
I know this isn't your point, and so maybe we're going to be on the same page here, making this not entertaining for the listener at all. Any reason at all that those women couldn't have been also part of the actual skills competition? They got them there anyway. Let them play in their game. That's cool.
Like, throw the women in against the men?
Yeah. Are they really going to be less accurate? Like, to me...
Oh, you're talking about the skills.
The skills. Yeah, no, I wouldn't play them against
I thought you were talking about
skills.
Throw them into the...
Yeah.
Like, the women versus the Pacific.
No.
Which is kind of how it is, right?
Well, yeah, no, I think... Initially, the two that I would have looked at a year ago and said, the women can't hang, would have been fastest skater and hardest shot. And they showed last year with Coyne, Kendall Coyne Schofield. Yeah. They can hang in the fastest skater.
For sure.
Still don't think they can hang in the hardest shot. Maybe I'll be proven wrong there too one day. But there are just certain biological things that you would suggest maybe they can't quite shoot as hard as, but beyond that, are they going to be less accurate?
No.
Are they going to be, you know, shooting it off the fucking riser that they put up at one end into the, they can fucking do that.
Well, and the thing is, it is still the NHL All-Star game.
Yep.
And so.
But once they're there.
Yeah. Okay. And I agree, but let's just debate. Once we've gotten past the idea that you want to bring a little more notoriety to the women's game, which I think is important.
Yeah.
Once that happens and they have an established North American Women's Hockey League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own All-Star game, I think that sort of moves away from that, right? Like, what role do the women play in the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, none.
None. They have their own league and they do their own thing.
Yep.
So, again, probably only half of the point you were making, but that's what we do here on the show. I take part of what you're saying, and you take part of what I'm saying, and somewhere down the road, we get a whole point.
Right.
No reason to not do it now. In the future, I probably don't need it.
Yeah. And that's fair. I just, like you say, you kind of saw the save streak thing, right? You put the women's shooters out against the women's goalies.
Yeah.
Let's see, right? And the accuracy, that's got to go. That digital board or piece of glass that they've got now instead of the old styrofoam plates.
Yeah.
What was wrong with that? Thomas Hertl, he won that fucking thing 3 times and it didn't count. Like the digital board that they got up there didn't register his fucking shot.
Yeah, like, and sometimes, short of the cleaning up of the styrofoam, right?
I guess.
As it totally explodes all over the place. Yeah.
But how many times did he hit that fucking thing and it just wouldn't register?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And he's shrugging his shoulders. Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what is. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
But yeah, beyond that, interesting. I like that they tried the platform thing. I don't know if it worked. Why do you got to make the biggest thing worth 10 points and all the little ones?
That was so weird.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Like if you're playing darts, all of a sudden the 15 points is the biggest fucking spot. Yeah. Like the bullseye is the easiest. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody on radio saying, you know, whether it happens again or not, it'll always be. Remember, that was the year they did the platform shooting, right?
Right. So, well, that was the 1 year, and you didn't remember, I don't think. I brought up the goalie goal scoring contest, and they put the one divider up on their own blue line, and someone would shoot it in. The goalie had to get out behind the net and then lob it up in the air over the divider and down. And we're talking like 2000 or 99. Yeah, yeah. Or,
I have very fuzzy recollections.
And you're like,
of that.
All right, you gave it a shot.
Yeah.
It sucked, but you gave it a shot. Like,
yeah.
The thing, I guess, from people who are tweeting about it in the building, dim the lights or something. Like, people were saying in the crowd, you couldn't find the puck, right? When they would shoot it off the platform, it's kind of blending into all the jerseys and whatever on the other side of the ice. Dim the lights, maybe put a light on it, light up the targets, something like that.
Yeah.
Make it stand out a little or something. It maybe it was better on TV than it was for those in the building. And
yeah. Well, and to me, as it always is, as you know, 30 cities in the NHL are really apathetic about the All-Star game.
Right.
It rocked in St. Louis. It looked like they totally embraced it and killed it.
So if that's who it's for, then make it work in the building, right?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Yeah. You know, but these are things you got to work out.
Sure.
You're either going to do
first
it again or you're, not going to do it again.
We always accuse the NHL of being old and stodgy. They tried something here. It didn't quite work. So tinker with it and see what you can do, right?
Talk about old and stodgy. How about Green Day? And okay. And I think they're under contract for like a couple more All-Star games, I think. Do you think the NHL is loving that right now?
No, but they don't actually have to. But that was one of the most hilarious parts when you bring it in is the NHL talking about diversity and then bringing in a band that will only attract men 30 to 40 years of age, white, right, to watch Green Day. And we'll throw the audio in here. But there's points in it where you could tell the guy running the broadcast knew this is a point where there's a swear in the song. And they kind of dimmed the mic. But then there's other times where he would bend back and go, St. Louis, let's fucking go. And you're like, you didn't get that one, right? Like,
get your fucking hands up in the air. And can you hear the sound of a siren? The subliminal mic. America. Well, maybe I'm the dead America. And after once I've been to follow, let's go fucking crazy!
Crazy! Well, because as you said, and they talked about that, it was, the actual spots in the song, you're like, okay, F-bomb coming up here.
Dimmed,
mute, and good.
But the ad-libs couldn't get that, right? So, I wanted to get your take on that. Is Green Day douchey for showing up at a family event like that and doing that? Or is the NHL just out of touch and going, that's what a band like that's going to do? Like, who's really in the right or wrong here?
Yeah, well, and
to me, it might be Green Day. I like Green Day a lot. But you know where you are. You know you're on network TV.
And this building is half full of...
Yeah.
Eight-year-old
Come
kids.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, you're not playing the Warp Tour 98. Like,
yeah. Well,
and, which would have been awesome.
Yeah. Which is then still full of just 15-year-olds. Yeah,
well, and whatever. But we're looking for it at that point.
Yeah. I'm yelling.
Right.
Yeah. I thought the whole thing was mildly amusing.
Yeah. All right.
Right. But I'm like, see, to me, live music at a sporting event rarely works. The the feeling is usually sort of pretty sterile.
When we got Shania at our Grey Cup here in Ottawa when we went.
Yeah, when she came in on the dog sled. Yeah.
The entrance was more notable than the
performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was great in
97-4. Okay.
Really great.
Yeah.
Good things for denim.
Yeah. For sure.
Or Denim did good things for her.
Either way, man.
Yeah.
Working hand in hand.
I just saw her on the Grammys. Woo! The best before date.
Oh, no.
Anyways, sorry, Shania.
Yeah.
Love you, Timmons, if you're listening.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, where the hell was I going with that?
Good all-star game, bad all-star game, indifferent.
Yeah, well, to me, again, it seemed great. It seemed like St. Louis rocked it. Nice that they could have it the year after they won the cup.
Yeah.
Nice that Brett Hull could show up and be semi-sober, which is really too bad for me because that's really the best clip of
Blues.
Yeah. We don't have to go anywhere. We've already been. So
we talked, I think, off air. I told you Steve Dangle was going.
And, he was collecting audio, you said.
Yeah, and doing stuff like on benches and working for Sportsnet. And he was like the second Sportsnet stop. And he wondered on his own podcast, the Steve Dangle podcast, if you're a Leaf fan especially, it's worth a listen. Before he went...
It's really only worth listening after a Leaf loss.
Okay. That's the LFR videos, the podcast, often. Anyway, he said going in, a little nervous. He said, I've met Austin Matthews' parents, and they were really good to me. He's like, I've met Freddie, and I've done some interviews with him. It was all fine. He's like, it's been placed lightly in my ear that the Marners know who I am and didn't enjoy my coverage of the contract dispute through the summer and whatever. And he didn't know. He's like, yeah, it's just a thing. I'm there working for Sportsnet. I'm sure it won't be a problem. So he comes back on Monday night on his podcast. He says that the Sportsnet PR people come to him and say, you know, the Austin Matthews is coming in at this point. You've got Freddie at this point, and we're still waiting to hear on the Marner camp. And then they come back a few minutes and on Marner, it's a hard no. He goes, a hard no? Like he's busy or whatever? He's like, we think it's you, and it's hard no. So he was having a laugh about it. That's his gig and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, he's like, wow, our little podcast and my shitty LFR videos and whatever else apparently really are registering in some places. So.
Wow. Those I can only imagine they're well listened to, right?
For sure.
In the Leaf neighborhood. Yeah. But you know what? It's like, are the Marners stopping by to talk to Jeff O'Neill? Probably not. Right? Anybody who had an opinion that was other than give Mitch his money.
Right.
Baby, I got your money. That fat Marner cash. Right? Anybody who wasn't on that side has got to be persona non grata in the Marner camp.
Sure. So it was an interesting All-Star weekend. I guess I probably paid more attention to it than I have in previous years. Still didn't love it, but maybe I didn't hate it as much as I normally...
Anticipated.
It's just one of those things that I think you further and further recognize. It's great for the market. It's probably still a lot of fun for the kids and whatever, you know, around the league. But I've seen a lot of talk, how do you make it... Like, the NBA All-Star game is probably the best, right?
Baseball.
I don't know. Yes, the Home Run Derby is a lot of fun. Their game is still pretty good.
Because it's a legit game, right, where you don't have to worry so much about...
I wish we still weren't putting the World Series on it, but...
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because you're cheating in the World Series anyway.
Well,
so
there's that.
It really doesn't matter.
But I think the NBA is the most, like, legit, right? In terms of red carpet appeal, and there's stars here, and they actually appear to kind of care a little bit. I think the biggest part of it is...
Because it's 170 to 164 right. is the score.
But I think the biggest part of it is you have the best players. They go, right? Like even in Toronto, Maddie was talking about on the last episode of this show, TCS 388, he was at the All-Star game in Toronto, Kobe's last, and Kobe was there, right? He's doing the tour on his final, you know, season, and all the big boys are there, and there's a red carpet, and celebrities are in town. And
it was cold as hell.
It was cold as fuck that weekend, yeah. And you wonder if that's the first step. I'm sorry, Tyler Bertuzzi. We're giving your spot to Brad Marchand. We don't care about representing. Like, you can't ask anyone else to take this seriously until the league does, right? We want the best players, not one from each team. And maybe that's how you start to build the prestige back into it.
Because short of somebody with the name Bertuzzi, anybody showing up in St. Louis to, because they're, you know, with little stars in their eyes looking at Tyler Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
Or DeClaire, right? Like, no.
No.
Not
unless
really.
You're in Detroit or Ottawa, as you
right.
prefer.
Well, no, but I don't, yeah, I don't
no,
care.
Okay, but if you're in Ottawa, but maybe you have to have DeClaire.
I'm right? also not, yeah, okay, no, yeah. for sure, but yeah. I'm, yeah, you have to have some representation if right. it's in your city, yes. but other than that, like, if you go back to the old, and again, I'm going to put my old man pants on, and it's even before I was watching, right, where you would have the NHL, the cup winners versus the All-Stars,
sure,
right,
yeah.
or something along those lines yeah. where you put something on it, right? Like, there has to be something.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I think the idea that, you know, and I kind of like that Austin Matthews still showed up, whether he...
I think he was trying to avoid suspension.
Oh, okay, but... You know, it had to be legit enough of a thing he wanted.
No, I think so, yeah.
That if, it's not like he said, yeah, I got a wrist injury and I'm...
It will heal best in the Bahamas.
Yeah, exactly. See you later.
And it probably would.
Yeah, but instead he showed up and yeah. in his turtleneck and his dinner jacket.
Sure.
And
his Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, did his little, you know,
yeah.
his shtick down there. And I think as an American hockey player in an American market in a time when, you know, American hockey is really at its highest profile... It's nice to have him there, I think, for them.
And
so it was cool that he still showed up.
Yeah. No, and if you're any sort of, you know, if you're into such things and you're subscribed to The Athletic, really good article on how Matthew and Brady spent their All-Star weekend together, and Brady obviously being called in at the last minute.
Due to Austin Matthews not showing up.
Yeah, pretty much. And had, you know, some buddies, they'd rented a box together, and just how those guys were able to spend the weekend together, and obviously Dad Keith, you know, played for the Blues for several years, you know, creates some pretty cool moments.
For sure. Which is why he got the invite, right? Clearly
probably,
Brady.
He's probably next in line, wouldn't he be?
No.
Okay.
No. From the Atlantic, you're not bringing in another...
It's still Brad Marchand, actually.
You're not bringing in another senator.
You know, Brad Marchand probably got that invite, went, go fuck yourself. I'm not a first.
Well, see, and I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
I'm not sure that it wouldn't be that Brady wouldn't have been... their first choice, being a St. Louis guy,
yeah, sure.
and his brother, that angle, right? Short of his 16 goals, right, that aren't getting him in, but it is likely the storyline,
sure,
the Tkachuk family, the brothers, the St. Louis connection, all that, I think, is likely more of it. Because you hear, he got a huge ovation when he was announced, right? So almost like a blue.
I don't want to spend much time on this because the game is going to happen tonight.
Yep.
But as we sit here on Wednesday, tonight we will see the rematch between the Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Cassian versus Matthew Tkachuk. We did see during the All-Star game, Matthew set up Draisaitl for a goal, and then instead of going to celebrate with him, peeled off and went to the bench. Whether he was just trying to be funny or didn't care or whatever, who knows. But we talked about this when it first happened, the idea that Cassian the suspension was going to end just in time for this game. They have their head of player discipline, George Parros, heading to Edmonton. They have assigned their two most senior referees to this game. A lot of...
Stephen Walking is going to be there.
Yeah, head of the officials. A lot of precautions being made.
Welcome.
don't you think we see probably nothing, like literally nothing? Well,
first things first, I am totally tired of seeing Zach Cassian's face on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Like, okay, buddy, your 15 minutes is up. Right. See that little glowing light there over on the side? That's your.
Has he finally signed that deal? They've been talking about his extension. Is it official yet?
I haven't heard.
Like 4 years at the.
The one thing that does come down and sort of rings true is, and I saw it on SportsCenter last night, was Cassian saying, well, I've really kind of already got my pound of flesh. Like, what
more? Yeah, he did. He beat the fuck out of him.
What more needs to happen in that situation?
That's what I'd say too, though.
Yeah.
You just stay at home, George Peros.
Yeah. Well, no. And so.
Does that actually change anything? If I want to kill you, you're going to see it anyway on tape, whether you're in your office or here in the building.
I just think, and as we talked about before a couple of weeks ago on the whole, the evolution of it, the NHL doesn't have any time for any more of that Bertuzzi, Moore type stuff.
Right, yeah.
Right? They don't want the McSorley, Brashear stuff. We don't want to see any more of that.
Two hand chopped the head. I get it.
Shoulder, man. That happened, right, happened to dislodge the helmet as he cracked his dome on the ground.
Sure.
But yeah, those sorts of things, right? They don't want it to be this circus for the wrong reasons, right? And so I'll be very surprised if anything happens to me.
I would do too. I think maybe in March, do they play? I know they play again on the weekend. Down the road, once it's cooled off, maybe you go, oh, no, it was a separate thing. He slashed me and whatever. Yeah. Tonight, when everybody's looking, nothing's going to happen. Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
And that is how it usually happens. Yeah. And it was interesting. I had voiced, I'm not sure if it was on the show or off the show, where I'm like, where's Lucic? What's he doing?
Yeah.
Like, where is he in all of this, right?
Yep.
Now, I know he and Cassian are fairly tight, I think, right, from their...
Probably.
Yeah, cold cut sub days in Edmonton together.
Can I get in on that?
Yes. I'll take two of those, please.
Right.
So I'll be interested, but I would really, like Zach Rinaldo is there, and they've also, they've called up Buddy Robinson.
Here's to you.
Yeah. So now he's not a scrapper.
For who?
Calgary.
On which team? I don't even know whose system he's in.
Yeah, Calgary.
Okay.
He played last.
Got myself an Abbotsford.
Yeah. I think Abbotsford is Abbotsford, not Edmonton now?
I don't know. No, Edmonton is in Bakersfield.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't think Abbotsford is still around.
But yeah, so he's a big body, right? He's not necessarily a scrapper.
He sure is. Your right. Buddy Robinson.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. but it's like, if anything, you'll see Zach Rinaldo maybe get into it.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Unrelated.
But that's the shit that nobody cares about.
Right.
Lose that. I don't want to see Zach Rinaldo fight Zach Cassian.
No.
It achieves zero.
Zach Cassian doesn't want to see that either.
Well, because Zach Cassian is a legit number one first line player now.
So I guess that was sort of what I was hinting at a minute ago with this talk that he may be getting a 3 or 4 year deal worth even $3 or $4 million. You're like,
sign it, Zach. Sign it now.
I get it. You're like, this is the whole point of having Connor McDavid. Anyone who plays with him is going to look at least capable.
Hey, you, Alex Chiasson.
Right.
And your 30 goals.
And you go,
whatever that was.
You go, that doesn't mean you turn around and spend money to lock up those guys. What it means is he can create a capable player out of anything. Right. So if that guy wants to stay, he either takes a discount or he understands that he's feeling the McDavid effect. And
league minimum. League minimum.
He can cash in somewhere else on what Connor did for him. But you don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't pay him that. Like, you're supposed to be the ones who understand what Connor does for his line mate.
That seems to be Chiarelli-esque.
Terrible, man. Terrible.
Yeah, but if I'm him, where's my pen? You got a pen?
Yeah, no, if I'm him, I'll lock that up in a fucking heartbeat, man.
If you got 4 years around $4 million?
Yeah.
Oof. Sign that bad boy right now.
$440,000.
Why? I was just calling out for the league minimum a second ago. So that's whatever it is. But yeah, to me, that's if two dough heads here in Ottawa see that, I'm not sure why they don't see it. Like I said, look at
the illusion of depth, right? That's
Pat Maroon, like Maroon. Where what didn't he pot a whole bunch of goals out there too?
Yep, and nobody bought on that.
Well, see, but Edmonton, I'll take more of that. Anyways,
no, you got to understand what. And long before he came to Toronto, that was John Tavares, right? Kyle Okposo getting fat, Matt Molson getting fat, right? Trent Hunter, and they're in the fucking minors. Trent Hunter, man, like all these fucking guys. Thank you, John. Right? But at least the Islanders had the good sense not to do it themselves. They understood what was happening.
Yeah,
most of it was Buffalo.
I was just gonna say Molson and Okposo.
We'll take those guys.
Hanging out.
Loving it
in Western New York. Bring it.
Yeah. No good, man. So, I don't think, and by the time most of you listen to this, that game will be in the bank, so you'll be able to say, man, those guys were right, or those idiots.
Yeah. Well, which is what happens, and that's totally fine.
Right.
But you know what? Have a take. Don't suck.
Right. So nothing's going to happen. That's my...
I firmly believe you'll see... an unrelated participant.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mixing it up.
Sure. It's George Parros and watching Chris Russell versus Zach Rinaldo.
Oof.
Buckle up. You're going to love it, everybody.
For sure. Right there. I'm loving it right now. I want to see that. Give it to me.
Just before the All-Star break, I saw a great tweet that listed, and this was before Toronto lost in overtime to Calgary. And then lost horribly in regulation to Chicago. At the time, Toronto
that's awesome.
Was 17-5-4.
Yes.
It said that on the day Mike Babcock was fired, the Maple Leafs were 11th in the East. 17-5-4 later, the fifth best record in the league in that time, and Toronto was 10th in the East.
17-5-4 is only the fifth best record in that time frame?
Well, Pittsburgh without Crosby just ran off like a pile of, and unbelievably, Columbus had also hit an unbelievable hot streak. Tampa got it back going.
Okay.
And I can't remember who all, but like Toronto was right there, but there was a bunch of teams to go. And at some point you go, this is why Leaf fans were so concerned about the mediocre start, right? Was, I don't think anyone expected that 17-5-4 would only move you up one place in the standings. That's hard to believe.
3-point games.
That's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Don't you think, regardless of what's going to happen here, the die has already been cast in terms of Kyle Dubas? If they get in, well, he pulled the trigger at the right time and... this is, you know, what he saw the team playing. And if they don't, it was, well, he never should have fired Mike Babcock and this team was never put together. Like, to me, there's no winning here. Maybe next year. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a certain amount of no matter what happens from here on. Because right now, even they're 17-7-5, I think, since, you know, you include.
Right. They're also playing tonight, right?
Yeah.
I think as we are recording.
They beat Nashville, and they game against Dallas, they just knocked off a really hot Tampa team, and they don't give up much, Dallas, right now.
Ben Bishop is,
the Bishop.
After a slow start, has been electric.
For sure. So we'll see how that's going to go.
But I think you're right. Now, it's a little unfair on the numbers alone to look at a division that includes Boston, as hot as they've been for, you know, they cooled
they
off.
They fell off a bit.
In the new year,
yep.
Right? There was a bit of a cooling there.
Yep.
But Tampa.
Hot.
Well, and Boston is still, I don't know, X number of points clear of.
Well, they have like already 12 overtime shootout losses or points, right? Like that are, you're like, man. Because they only have like 8 regulation losses. So it depends what you view 500 as, right? Do those include the overtime shoot? It doesn't matter. Well, they have the points.
Nobody loses anymore in the NHL.
Right.
Really. It's just sort of
Gary's 500.
Yeah, you keep rolling along.
But do you think there's any, no matter what happens, good or bad, can you judge Dubas based on this season?
I judged him at the end of last season.
Yes, you did.
And then again in the summertime, yeah. And again in the fall. Yeah. Oh, wait, and again when he fired yeah. Babcock.
Right.
I've already, the die is cast for sure right here in my pants. Because I am,
right.
I am anti-Dubas.
Yeah.
In terms of, so yeah, I think he's done a bad job.
So under Sheldon Keefe, 112 point pace right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's.
That's not nothing.
No, it's not.
Okay.
So the subpar start that they got off, and all the reports now that he's actually gone, Babcock, that is, suggest that Kyle wanted to fire him at the end of the playoffs last year,
yeah.
And Shanny and the board said no. So can you hang this season on him?
I hang it on Shanny then.
That's fair.
We've just turned yeah. the fire hose on somebody else.
Right.
I don't like the way this team has been built.
Right.
And I think it will be. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll be disappointed when they end up having to play Washington.
I think a lot of teams would be.
Yeah, for sure. But again, that to me is they've kind of painted themselves into a corner.
How?
Salary-wise.
Okay, the salary cap looks pretty good next year once you get rid of Nathan Horton and David Clarkson and a lot. Cody Ceci will be out of here. Don't look. Just tell me.
So what do they do in terms of...
Muzz has got to stay.
Yeah, and you got another year beyond this on Riley and Anderson. Am I right with that?
1 year more on Anderson. It might be two on Riley. I'm not sure. I'd consider moving him this summer.
Riley?
Yeah. It might be DeMar time.
That's damn interesting.
It might be DeMar time, right? He's getting to an older age. He's going to want a raise because he's on a sweet contract right now. You love him here. It might be time.
Okay.
If you believe, and we'll see, right? If you can lock up Muzz and then you believe in Sandin and Dermott. So some big ifs we have to see yet, right? But those things would all have to come to fruition, and I don't know.
Small sample size, but I haven't been, you know, unhappy. I think, or I've been unhappy, but you probably couldn't be unhappy with Sandin.
No, so that's a possibility. I would consider moving on from that guy while he's got value and whatever. We'll see.
That's damn interesting, Matt, and provocative.
Right? Would you at least agree that we're only now, because this has been my stance for a long time, only now are we able to start evaluating the team that Dubas has built?
You've always said that,
yeah.
Right, since Babcock left.
The coach was going in a different direction. So if he, you know, fires Babcock, brings in Keefe, and it all still goes up in flames, okay, we got three quarters of a season that says that was your fault. But right now, what we have is two quarters of a season that says it's going pretty well under this guy, but the hole that was dug is pretty... I think both those guys are back to start next year because right now they're trying to dig out of a hell of a hole and they're 17-7-4 and like doing pretty good, right?
You mean both guys as in Dubas and Keefe? Yeah, okay, for sure. I think this is going to be... They'll always have that where they can look back and go, Babcock, fuck this up.
Yep.
Right, they'll always have that, even if it was only...
Well, even if it's Shanny and the board that have to go, yeah, okay, we blocked you, and it turns out you were right, even if it's because those other fucking guys quit on Babcock, which it sure looks like
they did. For sure it does.
Yeah.
But we talked about that here, and you scoffed at me for suggesting such a thing.
Yeah.
We
don't have to talk about that.
Okay. But yeah, I think he gets another year, regardless, as you just suggested. I think there's always that there's going to be so much promise still with young guys making big fat cash, but with Marner, Nylander,
those guys
Matthews,
are all delivering.
No, okay, I know, and this is what I'm saying is there's still always so much potential still out there in front of you. But I know they've been delivering. But I'm saying, what's not happening right now is what's around them. And right now they're handcuffed.
I don't know about that. Pierre Engvall has come up. He's been a revelation.
And Timoshev and all these guys.
I'd trade Timoshev right now if anybody wanted him.
See, this is what I'm saying, though, is what's going to happen in come April. And all I'm saying is when shit gets different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's fair, right? We have to see this whole thing is we're doing this different. We think it should go this way. And I think if you're going to do that, you have to be wholeheartedly in on it. And we are now, right? And so we'll see if they make the playoffs and who they're going to play.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs.
We're still out, after that win again.
For sure. But they're what? They're
2 points out now.
2 points out.
Game against Florida next week. It's going to be huge.
I think they, and I was just looking at the standings before we came on, but in terms of games played, I think they're fine, right? They may have a couple games in hand.
They have one in hand on Florida, which is going to be huge.
No, they're only good if you can win them.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking about Nashville. another disappointment.
Yeah.
But it comes down to you got to look at a team built the way they are on skill and on attack-oriented play, right? That it's got to scare you when you look at Tampa last year.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
Just in saying, that's a team that's overwhelmingly more skilled than that team.
Yeah. Talent wise, top of the league probably. And whoosh, out they went. Right?
Yeah. Well, they just insert toilet flush here.
It's fucking concerning for sure.
And so you look at it and say, now they've tried to, you know, bring in a little bottom end grit. I think they're still looking for some now, right? They're looking for a sort of a third line.
Toronto or Tampa?
Tampa.
Yeah.
Right. But they're still trying to subtly. With their cap, with their cap restrictions as well, right?
Yeah,
that they're trying to bring in your sort of third line checking center.
When you're starting to see a little more time given to your Palats and your Killorns and your guys like that who will grind a little, who'll block some shots.
So that is all I'm saying is right now, if you want to, and I love the reference, right? If you want to DeMar this situation and you want to flip Riley,
might be time.
Well, because to me, I think you need to seize the day.
Yeah.
In the next couple of years.
And I think at the deadline, I don't know that they're going to be able to do anything. But if they are, it starts with CC out. Only because he's been awful and he's making a lot of money.
CC back to Ottawa? What are you going to send with him?
I'm thinking it's more like Anaheim. They're interested in a guy like Josh Manson, and Anaheim has said, we'll take on money for the rest of the year as part of their rebuild. So could you ship that out? You're obviously going to have to sweeten the deal, plus whatever you're giving. It's not going to be CC for Manson. But could you also draw Ryan Miller as your backup, only making about $1 million? You know, he's got a no trade because he's comfortable there in California.
And is his wife not an actress too?
I think a model or something. Model. Yeah. But
he's a thin, ugly man too. What's happening there?
Sorry, I've never been called that. I've been called half of that.
I wasn't even talking about you.
I know. No one is. But at 40 years old.
Oh, people are talking about you, man.
But he's almost 40. You know, would he look at waiving that for 3 months to come and back up Fred? I got more faith in 40-year-old Ryan Miller than Hutchinson.
So, but what do you have once the playoffs start? What do you have more faith in him for? Because at that point you're riding Freddie till
unless he's hurt.
Yeah, but then you're fucked anyways.
Yes, we sure are.
So you might as well go with Hutch anyways, because Ryan Miller is not pulling your fat out of the fire. I don't mean
it's a lot of fat.
Yeah,
it's hard lifting.
Leaf fat.
I got more faith in that situation than Ryan Miller over Michael Hutchinson. It doesn't mean I'm like we're still fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, what a relief. 2010 Ryan Miller, bring it on. Right. 2020 Ryan Miller, that'd not so great. Much.
No.
So I get what you're saying, and it's fairly creative, Matt. I do see what you're doing over there. It's got some thought. But it's bullshit.
Okay. Right on.
That's kind of what we do.
Yep. So I'm intrigued. We'll see how this is going to go. And I guess I'm still just willing to give this a little more time before I hit the panic button. Because like I said, they're 17-7-4 under Keefe. It's pretty fucking good. You've just kind of been hamstrung by this start that you had under a different coach. And I'm just kind of willing to go, I don't want to judge anything until I see it used the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but let's look for 1 second, and neither one of us have the standing sitting in front of us.
No.
But in the Atlantic, right now, you have Boston, Tampa, Florida.
Yep.
Right? And then over in the Metro, and I only bring this up because it's going to affect the wild card standings. Yep. You have Washington, Pittsburgh.
The Islanders.
And the Islanders. And so then sitting in wild card position, first wild card, Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
Second one, Carolina.
Don't expect that to hold. Carolina might.
Okay, so what I'm looking at, so for...
And Philly's still hanging right around there.
Yeah, but out.
Yeah.
Well,
we're out.
Yeah.
So if I'm being optimistic for one, I guess.
Well, no, and I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, to me, I'm always interested in, you can get red hot, but who are you replacing? And so at that point, I'm circling. Whoop, Florida in third, Columbus in the first wild card.
Yeah.
And you're saying, those are the two bitches I got bullseyes on their back.
Yep.
If I'm Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally doable.
The thing is,
Columbus for sure.
Yeah. Yes. And wouldn't it be fucking...
Sooner or later, that glass slipper is going to get way too small for that fat foot.
Wouldn't be fucking something for Toronto to fall to fourth and still get fucking Boston in the first round.
Yeah. Well, yeah, have to be the second wild card? Because
they'd be the first wild card. I think Washington's ahead of Boston.
It is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, yes, you're right. So, Washington would play the second wild card.
I don't really want to play Washington either.
Now, you know what I was looking at? I was looking at Washington's stats. You know how many goals Ovi has?
Yeah. He's only like one behind Matthews right now.
Who's only like two or three behind Pasternak.
Yeah.
So, 34 goals. How many points do you think Ovechkin has?
44.
Yeah. 50.
Yeah.
He's only got 50 points. I was surprised by that.
But he's right there. Like,
okay, but wait.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You know what else stands out to me on that? He's a -9 on that team. So there's only three guys on that team who are a minus. You got Radko Gudas is a +22.
Yeah.
Ovechkin is a -9. Backstrom is a -7.
Oh, no. Just signed himself to a big extension.
Yeah, and then somewhere down the bottom of the Nick Jensen, like nobody cares about that. I'm not sure why, but
former Oshawa Generals.
He is that sort of little outlier on my thing, and I'm like, what? You're ruining my point here, Nick Jensen. Get out of here! But everybody else is anywhere from a +1 to a +22 on that team.
But there he is again, eh? Like on pace for 45-ish. What? Because he was like five behind Matthews. Last week, and then he got two goals in one game, and then like a hat trick in the next, and like bang, right there, tied.
Well, he's going to be good for a Hattie on Friday when he rolls into Ottawa.
Sweet,
I'm telling you that right now. So,
I want to ask you then, Matthews, two behind Pasternak. Let's assume, just for the fun of it, that Matthews is able to win a Rocket. Only for the sense, what year do you think the last time was that a Leaf was the highest scoring goal scorer in the NHL?
Was it 1981?
You're going to have to go back like a generation or two.
Well, I'm thinking Rick Vibe with his 52 goals.
Yeah, but that would have been like 88 or something, wouldn't it?
No, Rick Vibe was early 80s.
All right.
Because I'm thinking there's only three 50-goal scorers. Yeah. You had Lehman, Anderchuk, and Rick Vibe. Yeah, I have
Gay
no idea.
Stewart in the 45-46 season was the last time a Leaf led the league in goal scoring.
So I have two questions for you.
Okay.
How many of the next 32 games ish, how many of those are at home for Toronto?
All right, I know what you're I have no idea. I assume it's probably pretty close to even.
All right.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get none on the road, but he'll likely get two per home.
Sweet empty netter on the road on Monday.
He'll probably get two per home game.
Yeah.
So
all right,
I'm figuring if it's 30, if you're talking about 30, 16, 32 goals, dude may hit 67 if he stays healthy.
Not 67.
Yes.
Sweet. That's a terrible omen.
So I think if he stays healthy, which has he ever played a full 82?
I think year one, not since.
Okay. Yeah. So I think if he stays healthy, I think he probably wins the Rocket.
Could be.
Because he certainly has an uncanny way of putting the puck in the net.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure he can stay healthy.
What was it you wanted to...
We've already sort of it was more mid-season surprises and disappointments. We've really already touched on it in terms of if you look at how disappointing Toronto has been or not been, you would know that better. Is their 10th place or whatever it is?
Yeah, we're loving it.
So that's clearly a disappointment for you. If you look around, would you say more or less disappointing than in Nashville? Like Nashville, I picked Nashville to win, like to win that division.
I don't even remember where I had them. I had them in the playoffs.
Well, you had them in second or third, and I talked you into
bumping them.
Talked you into first. You're like, yeah,
could be.
You're making some great sense.
Oh no,
yeah,
I've been misled again.
Yeah, for sure, man. I was like, hey, there's an all-you-can-eat wing joint down the road. That's not that doesn't count. That's solid info.
I would say Nashville probably. I would say more disappointing than Toronto.
How about San Jose?
Less. Like, I think when we, like, they took a lot of the heart out of that organization when Pavelski left, right?
I think I had them in the top three in their division.
I can't fucking remember. Okay. A little research might help.
And so did, but I'm just bringing this on you as we sit. You had them in the playoffs too.
I think so.
And so they are.
But honestly, I'm just for some reason not as shocked.
Top 10 lottery pick.
Yeah. I'm just not as shocked. I just look at it now and go, I don't know what I was thinking. Where I look at Nashville and still go, what's your fucking problem? Like, why does Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene only have like 8 goals each or whatever it is?
Yeah.
That's not good enough, right? Like, they miss Ryan Ellis, but.
Honestly, to toss them both together and they still don't have as many goals as Duclair.
Right. Oof.
So that's that's how it goes, man. And throw Dzingel on top of that.
Yeah.
And so you're like, yeah, screw it. But to me, those are some, throw New Jersey in there too. I thought they would
I really thought, yeah, New Jersey.
Pressing for a playoff spot, but they're first overall pick.
I really liked
Sons
what they
of
did.
Bitches. Get your shit together.
With Simmons on a short-term deal.
He's
going to show something. Subban, you gave up nothing, which turned out to be about right, apparently, Subban, for what you were going to get.
Did you see Subban get knuckled out by Brady Tkachuk the other night?
No. Okay. I don't watch a lot of Devil's Sens games.
Come on, man. You were missing it. That game was absolute garbage.
Because I saw Sens Twitter going off on the attendance. I went, look.
9,600.
I went, look. I often think Sens fans use the Melnick thing a little too much as an excuse for why they don't go.
Yep.
But I'm not faulting anyone who didn't drive to the middle of nowhere to watch this Sens team versus this Devils team on a Monday night. I get it, right? Like,
but in terms of things, when you look at the beginning of the season, you're like, yeah, and I know as much as I know. That's it. Right? But you feel pretty strongly. And I look at things and I make these and I'm like, damn, that is some solid thinking right there. Right? And then you go, wow, I shit the bed.
Wow, Coleman lighting up the Leafs.
Totally shit the bed there, really. And that's one of those things where you look at the Leafs, but more so, yeah, it's San Jose.
Yeah.
And it's Nashville. And on the flip side, I look at Vancouver, right? What's happening out there? The JT Miller thing.
Yeah, they're still not going to make it.
Okay, which I absolutely.
Oh, we both hated.
Yeah.
First round pick for that. Are you fucking serious?
And the guy's got 50 points already.
Yeah.
Like, he's a point a game guy.
They're still going to miss.
Right. And what Quinn Hughes is doing there, like all the talk that
he's pretty good.
Yeah, that Cale Makar is running away with the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
You look at Quinn Hughes in terms of the points.
Right.
You're really similar, my friend.
Yep.
And so. You know, it's crazy. And Markstrom has been more reliable, I would suggest, than...
Yeah, and tough year for him. I think it was his father.
It was his father.
Yeah, so he had to take some time away. they haven't been ready. I think they really thought this year Demko might, you know, you might slowly start to turn it over to him. That hasn't happened.
Do you read anything into the fact that they come out of the break, or out of the All-Star break, and yeah, Demko gets the first game?
Only... well, didn't Markstrom go to the All-Star? You saw a bunch of teams go.
Yeah, I don't know. You and I were watching it together, and we're like, yeah, exactly. Pacific goalies who.
Hey, is Freddie wearing CN Tower pads? Never seen those before. Oh, that's cool.
Well, this is it. I didn't even notice that. Watching. He's got new white pads.
Yeah.
It's Carlton the Bear.
Sure. You know what? I just think there was a few teams that sent their goalie off to this shooting spree / drunk fest and went, we'll give our backup the start here.
But again, as we sit here, Vancouver, I think they're sitting in first in the division.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, who I predicted to finish fifth and out of the playoffs in that division, sitting in second, and Columbus, first wild card position.
Yeah, I can't believe Columbus.
Okay, but I think I had them eighth in the division.
I think we both had them dead last. Like, you just cannot give up what they gave up and get nothing for it. We both loved what they did a year ago.
For sure.
But it didn't pan out. And you go, you're going to suck. Oh, they don't suck. And if they get in, John Tortorella's Jack Adams this year.
Seemed like a good idea to invest in laser discs.
Yeah, sure.
Beta. That's something along those lines.
If you want to interact with us, you can do so at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. We are at facebook.com/tallcanaudio. I'd be curious to hear from you guys what you thought of the All-Star competitions, what you might change, what you liked this year, and what you might do with the women, as you know. How do you want to continue to utilize that? As it, the NHL right now, clearly using it as a PR thing, but the women are anxious to have it. So, I mean,
where are the people who are all cynical about Bell? Where are they cynical about the NHL?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Now I've just brought Matt down.
Yeah.
I'd also like to. Maybe Matt doesn't give a damn. But I'd also like to hear what your surprises and disappointments are through 50 NHL games.
Yeah. Let's do that.
And if you want to say eat a bag of dicks, Matt and Rob,
Matt,
you were totally off on that.
Yeah.
Totally fine too.
Right. Because only Matt has to read those. we're at Tall Can Audio everywhere. We'll get the hell out of here on that. We'll see you later.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.